This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. We're headed now into segment number 3 of day number 4 of the Alex Murdaugh trial. The date of this is January 30th of 2023. It is the final segment in the courtroom before adjourning for lunch. Let's go there now.
Okay, the audience is reminded as requested by the jury, and we've removed the cart. You may bring the jury.
Prep.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, I have addressed your concerns. And you may call your next witness.
We call Senior Special Agent Jeff Croft.
Yes, ma'am.
Take a seat in the witness room. Say your name again for the record. Spell your last name.
Jeff Croft, C-R-O-F-T.
So you're Special Agent Croft, how are you doing today?
Doing well, sir.
So your beard's about as gray as mine is, isn't it?
Sir?
Your beard's about as gray as mine is.
Yes, sir.
Is that where, how you get to be a senior special agent?
I don't think so.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where'd you grow up? Where are you from? And then tell us a little bit about your career in law enforcement.
I grew up in Barnwell County. I started my law enforcement career in the early 2000s as a reserve deputy with the Barnwell County Sheriff's Office. I got hired full-time, started on the road. I did road patrol. I then went to investigative services. Investigations, where I worked narcotics and violent crime. In 2012, I transferred over to SLED, where I worked in the Lowcountry region in investigative services. I was assigned to this area for investigative purposes, working homicides, violent crime, financial cases, all sorts of stuff.
Okay. And how long have you been with SLED?
I'm going on 12 years.
Where were you assigned back on June 7th, 2021?
I was assigned to the Lowcountry region here in Collin County.
And were you someone that I called out to respond to the reports of the two deaths at 4147 Moselle Road?
Yes, sir, I was.
About what time did you get a call?
I got called out on June the 8th, the morning of June the 8th, about 5:30 that morning.
And where did you go from there?
I was en route to the scene. I was rerouted to our field office here in Walterboro and given instructions from there.
Okay. And having been given those instructions, what did you go do to help the investigation? What's the first thing you did?
I located and interviewed Rogan Gibson.
All right. And did you have a conversation with Rogan Gibson?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did you ask Rogan Gibson about whether or not he had phone communications with Paul Murdaugh the evening before?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did you ask him whether he had phone communications with Alex Murdaugh the night before?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did you ask him whether or not he had communications with Maggie Murdaugh the night before?
Yes, sir, I did.
And did you ask to see Rogan's cell phone?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did he allow you to take screenshots of some of the records on his cell phone?
Yes, sir, he did.
All right, I'm going to show you very quickly what's been marked as exhibits 165, 166, 167, 168, 169, 170, 171 and 172, and just generally tell me if you recognize those particular exhibits.
Yes, sir. These are the snapshots which I took of Rogan Gibson's phone.
Okay. Evidence exhibit, state's exhibits 165 through 172, I believe, without objection.
Okay. They are admitted.
All right. I could get the Elmo up, please. Let's see how that works. Not great, is it? All right, I'm going to put up on the screen State's Exhibit 165. And is this one of those images that we were just talking about from Rogan Gibson?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right, and whose hand is that holding it up? Do you know?
That is Rogan Gibson holding the phone for me to take the picture.
All right, and was he manipulating the phone for you and then showing you when he found things and then you taking a picture of it with your phone?
Yes, sir, he was.
Okay, and does this reflect an incoming call from Paul at a particular time?
Yes, sir, it does.
What time does it reflect that call?
At 8:40 p.m.
All right, and this is going to be on June 7th, 2021?
That is correct, sir.
And how long does it reflect that call was?
Approximately 4 minutes.
4 minutes. All right, let's look at the next one. I'm going to publish what's been marked as State's Exhibit 166. And is this another screenshot that Rogan showed you from his communications with Paul Murdoch that night?
Yes, sir, it is.
And does it show an incoming call from Paul Murdoch to Rogan Gibson?
Yes, sir, it does.
And what time is that call?
8:44 p.m.
8:44 p.m.?
That is correct.
I'm going to show you next what's been marked as Exhibit 167 to your testimony. And is this another screenshot that was showed to you by Rogan Gibson from his communications with Paul Murdoch?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right. And were these some texts between the two of them?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right. And does it reflect a text from Rogan to Paul on there?
Yes, sir, it does.
What time is that? I'm sorry, go ahead.
8:49 p.m.
8:49 p.m., is that correct?
That is correct.
And can you read that text to the jury, please?
See if you can get a good picture of it. Marion wants to send it to a girl we know that's a vet. Tell him to sit and stay, and he shouldn't move around too much.
All right. Does it reflect any response from Paul?
It does not.
All right. What is the next communication on this particular exhibit?
It's a little glare on it. I can't. Yep. It looks like 9:58 p.m.
All right. I'm going to bring the exhibit up because I know our Elmo's not working great. We're still working on that. But let me actually have you look at it. So we said there was that communication to Paul from Rogan, and then you said there was no response. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
And then the next thing is Rogan sends a text. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
What time is that text?
9:58 p.m.
9:58. What does he say?
Yo.
Yo.
Y-O, yo.
All I'm going to put up on the screen State's Exhibit 168. Can you see that all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. And does this reflect a number of outgoing calls from Rogan to Paul, trying to get him to answer?
Yes, sir, it does.
Can you tell the jury the times, starting at the bottom, that he's trying to call Paul Murdoch without an answer?
At 9:10 p.m., there's a two-second outgoing call. At 9:29 p.m., there's a one-second outgoing call. At 9:42 p.m., there's a one-second outgoing call. And at 9:57 p.m., there's a four-second outgoing call.
All right. I'm going to put up on the screen State's Exhibit 169. And does this also reflect an outgoing call from Rogan to Paul that is unanswered?
Yes, sir, it does.
And what time was that?
10:08 p.m.
All right, we're now looking at State's Exhibit 170. I'm going to bring it up, tell you real quick. Who does this reflect communications with, between Rogan Gibson and who?
Mrs. Maggie Murdoch.
All right, let me go publish this real quick. All right. So it's from who?
Miss Maggie Murdoch.
All right. And Rogan sends her a text, is that correct?
Yes, sir, he does.
What time does he send that text?
9:34 p.m.
And what does he say?
Tell Paul to call me.
I'm going to publish what's been marked as State's Exhibit 171. Can you see that all right?
Yes, sir. I can see the time, but I can't see the top of it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And who are these communications from on Rogan Gibson's phone?
Mr. Alex Murdoch.
The defendant?
That's correct.
All right. And were there missed calls from Alex Murdoch?
Yes, sir, it is.
And can you tell the jury what times those were?
At 10:21 p.m. and at 10:24 p.m.
And then finally, State's Exhibit 172. Are these additional missed calls on Rogan's phone? Or outgoing, missed calls?
Yes, sir, it's missed calls.
And who are they from?
I can't see the top from that.
Sorry.
Mr. Alec Murdoch.
Okay. And what time were these missed calls from Alec Murdoch to Rogan Gibson?
10:25 and 10:30 p.m.
Did you ultimately interview Rogan Gibson, is that correct?
Yes, sir, I did.
Without going into what he said, he told you what his communications and what he did that night and all the rest of it, is that right?
Yes, sir, he did.
Was there anybody with you when you interviewed him?
Yes, sir, it was.
And who was that?
Special Agent Katie McAllister.
Katie McAllister?
Yes, sir.
Did you take a buckle swab from Rogan Gibson?
Yes, sir, I did.
And tell the jury just really quickly, what is a buckle swab?
A buckle swab is used to get a DNA standard or a known standard that can be used by our lab to compare to potential other evidence. It's a cotton swab, which we use on the inside of the cheek. Very non-intrusive. Once we get it, we seal it. That with evidence tape is transported to our lab for our lab's use.
Okay. One second. I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 154 and see if you recognize this document.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. Tell me what that is. Tell the jury what that is, please.
It's a chain of custody form that we used when we secured the buccal swab from, or buccal swab from Rogan Gibson.
All right. Put that up on the screen. And so right there, is that where it says what it is?
That's correct, yes, sir.
And whose signature is that right there?
That is myself.
And then whose name and signature is that right there?
Melinda Worley, Special Agent Melinda Worley.
Okay. All right. After you had that interview with Rogan Gibson, what's the next thing you did in the case? Assist the investigation.
I went back to the scene where I briefed Senior Special Agent David Owen and the others that was assisting with the investigation. I was asked to go to the residence, the Burnout residence, which was down from the kennels.
All right. And what was going to be your goal in going to the residence?
I went to the residence to secure any firearms or ammunition, spent shell casings of that nature that would be potentially compared to or similar in nature to what was at the scene.
Did you go by yourself? Did you go with a team?
It was myself, Anthony Sampson, and Katie McAllister, which are special agents.
What was your particular role or into this team? What was going to be your main job and why you were picked to be on this team to go in the house looking for firearms evidence?
I have some knowledge of firearms and ammunition, and my main duty was to attempt to locate any firearms that were capable of firing similar ammunition that was at the actual crime scene, any spent shell casings that would be similar in nature that could potentially be tested back to a firearm if one was located or tested in comparison to the casings which were at the scene.
Had you been advised by other investigators what types of weapons or what ammunition had been used to murder Maggie and Paul?
Yes, sir, I did.
And can you tell the jury what you had been advised?
I'd been advised that it was a 12-gauge shotgun used, capable of shooting 3-inch magnum. I was also advised that there was a 300 blackout an AR rifle bore, chambered for 300 blackout.
12 gauge and 300 blackout.
That's correct, yes, sir.
Bear with me 1 second. All right. I'm going to show you what's been marked as Exhibit 160 to your testimony and see if you recognize that particular disc.
Yes, sir, I do.
Tell me what that disc is.
It's a disc of my body-worn camera recording from the day of the house entry.
All right, I'm going to show you what's been marked as Exhibit 159, see if you recognize this particular exhibit.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, and what's on that?
This is, again, a recording of my body-worn camera for the house entrance.
All right, and why are there two recordings of body cams? Why do we have two instead of just one?
After the initial entrance to the residence and some initial items being secured, I stepped outside to speak to the investigative team, which was up at the kennels, and then I walked back in the house. While I was outside, I noticed some items on the ground that needed to be secured, so I walked back in the house, got Anthony Sampson, Special Agent Anthony Sampson, to accompany me outside to collect those items.
What were those items? I'm going ahead and let's jump ahead. What were those items you ultimately collected out there?
It was 300 blackout shell casings, which appeared to be weathered at the bottom of the stoop, entered to the entrance of the what I call the gun room, and in the flower bed on each side.
All right. And when you say cases or casings, tell the jury what we're talking about. What is a case or a casing as opposed to the whole cartridge? Can you explain that to the jury, please?
Cartridge case is what's ejected from the weapon once it's fired. It houses the powder, the primer, the bullet on the end, which is the projectile, which leaves the end of the barrel. It's basically just the housing that holds the firing mechanism in a shell or in a casing.
And in a semi-automatic weapon, once the bullet is fired, what happens to the casing?
It, and a semi-automatic weapon, it is ejected.
It's ejected?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And if nobody picks it up, it stays right there on the ground, doesn't it?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Your Honor, this time I've moved State's Exhibit 159 and 160 in the evidence.
Your Honor, we don't object to the video of either one, and there's one longer video that's in the house. I don't know if 159 and 160 that we would object to the audio portion being played. And
Your Honor, I have no problem with that. I'm going to play that particular video with the audio down because there is discussion with other witnesses who will testify who are in the house. That's acceptable to the state for that particular exhibit.
Griffin?
Yeah, that's acceptable.
All right.
As long as there's no hearsay from the witnesses.
You said the audio is down, so it's admitted under those conditions.
Thank you, Your Honor. Bear with me one second. Right. And for the record, 159 is the exhibit. We'll play with the audio down. Can I get the input change, please, to the laptop? All right, so Special Agent Croft, since we don't have audio on this, we might just kind of narrate it for the jury while things are happening, okay?
All right, sir.
All right, let's do that. All right, what's happening right now?
We are walking up to the side door of the residence, which enters the gun room.
All right. And just real quick, we see that side stoop right there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What was found right there, if anything, by that stoop?
300 blackout casings.
Is that what you just were talking about?
Yes, sir, it is.
Right there, huh?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Who is that individual right there? Do you know?
Attorney Lee Cope.
Who's talking to him?
Special Agent McAllister.
I'm going to move it forward, going in the house a little bit. Where are we now?
We are inside of the residence at 4147 Moselle Road in the gun room.
Who are you shaking hands with right now?
That would be Attorney Mark Ball.
All right. Who's getting their hands shook right now?
Mr. Attorney Ronnie Crosby.
Now, you mentioned Lee Cope and Mark Ball and Ronnie Crosby. Who are those individuals? What, if anything, is their relationship with Alec Murdoch?
They are law partners were law partners with Mr. Alec Murdoch at PMPD.
Do you know what Alec Murdoch did for a living?
He was a trial lawyer, and he also was a prosecutor for the 14th Circuit Solicitor's Office under Solicitor Duffy Stone.
And what does a prosecutor do?
They try cases for the state.
Criminal cases?
Criminal cases for the state, yes, sir.
Right. That's what he did?
That is correct.
Okay. I'm going to fast forward just a little bit. What's that sort of in the center of the screen right there?
That's a gun cabinet. Or gun shelf.
All What's going on right now?
Special Agent McAllister is explaining why we are there, kind of what we're looking for, and gaining consent to search that area.
Was consent ultimately obtained to search?
Yes, sir, it was.
Let me back it up real quick. All right, at this point, are y'all having a conversation with people who were there? I'm not trying to get into the conversation, just were you having a conversation?
Yes, sir, we were.
All right, and who are the two individuals you're talking to, or three individuals you're talking to right there?
Ronnie Crosby on the right, Mark Ball in the center, and Mr. Lee Cope on the left-hand side. Agent McAllister standing with her back turned.
At some point, did Mark Ball point to anything?
Yes, sir, he did.
And what did he point to?
A 300 blackout rifle, which was sitting in the gun wall.
Did Ronnie Crosby point to it? Let me back up.
Yes, sir.
All right. Then whose body camera are we looking at right now?
That would be mine.
Where are you going right now?
I'm walking over to the gun wall or gun cabinet in order to get a better picture of what Mr. Ball is pointing to.
Is that it right there in the middle?
That is it, yes, sir.
All right. Right, what is Mark Ball pointing to right now?
He's pointing to the numbers which are displayed on the bottom of the magazine.
All right. And is this the blackout we're talking about?
That is correct.
All right. Did you look at that particular magazine?
Yes, sir, I did.
What, if anything, did you notice about that magazine?
The magazine stamped with 223.
All right. Is 223 the same ammunition as 300 blackout?
It's same in length. 223 magazine is capable of housing a 300 blackout round.
Right. Well, explain to me a little bit about 223, and which is a type of ammunition, and blackout. What are the differences and what are the similarities between those two rounds?
They both can be fired from the AR frame. It's the 300 blackout is actually approximately a 30 millimeter projectile, a little bit larger bullet than the 223. Has a little more kinetic energy and a little more stopping power than the 223. The 223 is a faster bullet, a little flatter trajectory. It does not have the stopping power that the 300 has, but because the 300 is a larger bullet, but and trying to use it in an AR frame, it's neck down, so you don't have quite as much speed coming out or velocity coming out of the barrel than you would with a 223.
What is it you just said though? A 300 blackout has more of
stopping power than the 223.
And stopping power, what does that mean? What is stopping power?
It has more impact than the 223 round would have.
Impact. Okay. All right. What else are you looking for right now as you look through the other firearms on that particular gun rack?
Any additional rifles capable of shooting a 300 blackout, and also the any 12 gauge shotguns which are capable of shooting 3-inch Magnum.
Let me ask you this: did you find any other weapons that could shoot 300 blackout?
No, sir, we did not.
Did you ever find any other weapons on Alec Murdoch's property that could shoot 300 blackouts other than that one that was in the gun rack?
No, sir, we did not.
We're going to talk more about this in a minute, but did you find some 12 gauges?
Yes, sir, we did.
All right, what are we looking at right here?
That's to the right of the gun wall or gun cabinet. It's various ammunitions for different type of weapons, shell casings, just parts for the gun wall.
Okay. And you're having a conversation with who right there?
Attorney Mark Ball.
As a result of that conversation, was Mark Ball pointing to things?
Yes, sir, he was.
Specific things?
Yes, sir, he was.
Did you ultimately come back and collect some of those things?
Yes, sir, I did.
Fast forward to about 7 minutes and 30 seconds. Keep this thing moving. Right there. What's that right there?
That is an empty box with the label S&B 300 BLK.
All right. And did you ultimately collect that box?
Yes, sir, I did.
All right. I'm going to show you what's been marked as State Exhibit 213 and see if you recognize that item.
Yes, sir, I do. All
right. Stand by for me real quick. Your Honor, this time we move State Exhibit 213 into evidence, I believe, without objection.
No objection.
Okay. I'm going to show it to you again. I'm going to put it up on the screen. Does that box reflect the grain weight of the bullets of that ammunition that were inside of it?
Yes, sir, it does.
And what is that?
147 grains.
All right, and tell the jury, what is 147 grains, or just grains in general when it comes to a bullet? What does that mean?
It's the weight of the projectile. All
right. And it's possible to have certain ammunition of the same caliber, but it has different weights. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes, sir. All right.
And this blackout is 147 grains, correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Sorry. Can we, no, that's fine. I'll show it later. Let's go ahead and do that. Can we switch the input just real quick? I'm going to switch it right back. I just want to show this to the jury, please. All right. Anybody can see that? Maybe if I do it, get it this way. And that's the empty box you found in the gun room?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right. And right there, is that the grains that you were talking about?
Yes, sir, it
Step
is.
Step down if you need to see what I'm pointing at.
I can see you, sir.
All right. Can you read that right there?
Yes, sir, I can.
What does it say?
Cellier and looks like Bellet.
All right. And in shorthand, when people are talking about ammunition, how do they say that?
S&B.
S&B. And then on the back right here, can you read that?
Yes, sir, I can.
And what does that say?
300 AAC blackout.
All right, if we go back to the video clip. For the record, I'm fast forwarding a little bit, just to keep us going. At this particular time, as it relates to the shotguns, are you looking to collect every single shotgun that's on that rack or only specific shotguns?
Only specific shotguns.
And what specific gauge of shotgun were you looking to collect?
12 gauge.
And why only 12 gauge?
That was the shell casings that was located at the crime scene.
Who's that individual standing in the center of the screen?
That would be Mr. John Marvin Murdoch.
Now, you mentioned attorneys Lee Cope, Mark Ball, and Ronnie Crosby were in that room as well. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
And Mr. John Marvin Murdoch, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And what's his relation to the defendant?
He is the brother.
Was that everyone that was kind of there, or was there another attorney as well that was present?
There was an additional attorney that walked in the room early in the recording.
And who was that?
Chris Wilson.
Chris Wilson. Just generally, what are you doing right here?
Just getting an overall of where things were at when we went into the room before anything was actually moved.
Saw you doing something with your hands. What are you doing right there?
I'm putting latex gloves on my hands.
What is it you're about to do?
I'm going to start collecting or securing those firearms. Okay.
What is that in your hand right there?
That is a 300, an AR-15 chambered to 300 blackout.
What is that in your hand right there? I kind of fast-forwarded it.
That was the magazine which I removed from the 300.
What ammunition was in that magazine?
S&B, 147 grain.
300 blackout?
300 blackout.
Because that's the sled item, but actually it's been marked as State's Exhibit 88. I'm going to have you take a look at that and see if you recognize that. Yep. Go ahead and pull it out. Just make sure not to point it at the jury. And if you could also make sure that it is not in a firing state, please, sir.
It is safe.
All right. And what is that item right there?
This is the 300 blackout rifle, which I secured from the gun wall.
And say it. Now, Your Honor, at this time, we would move State's Exhibit 84 into evidence.
Your Honor, I object on relevancy grounds. There's no evidence that this gun was the gun. I mean, it's just not relevant. It's found in the house.
It ain't the gun.
Objection approved. Thank you, Your Honor. Hold on that gun for me, please, Special Agent Croft. Let's see what else is in this box. I'm going to show you the other part of State's Exhibit 88, and that's marked actually as State's Exhibit 210. What's that?
This would be the magazine which I removed from this rifle on the video and the ammunition which it contained.
All right. And what kind of ammunition is that?
It's head stamp S&B 300 blackout.
All right. And do you know the specific brand and make and caliber of ammunition that was used to kill Maggie Murdoch?
The head stamps on the shell casings at the crime scene was S&B 300 blackout.
Same thing?
Yes, sir.
Let's talk a little bit about this firearm. What is this thing on the top here?
That is a, I call it an optic, but it's actually a thermal scope, which can be used for shooting in the dark.
Okay. And this particular weapon, is this a semi-automatic weapon?
Yes, sir, it is.
And what does that mean? Can you tell the jury what that means?
Each press of the trigger, it will fire and eject the spent cartridge.
And where are the cartridges going to eject when this weapon is fired?
It would eject from the right-hand side, right here.
All right. So if it's being fired, they're coming out this way, is that correct?
To the right and generally back.
Come back to the armor, please.
Excuse me.
All right, these are the rounds you're talking about right here?
Yes, sir, it is.
Those are the S&P 300s?
Yes, sir, they are.
And this is that magazine that said 223 on it that you were talking about, is that correct?
That is correct.
Turn to the video, please, ma'am. All right, what's that gun in your arm now?
That is a 12-gauge Browning.
All right. Just a hair. All right, and so that's the brownie you collected, is that correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
Bring you item 31 here real quick. Before you open it, just give me 1 second. I'm going to get this blackout rifle out of the way.
That's going to block you.
Been using the sled item number, but that's State's Exhibit 90, is that correct?
I got you.
Right there.
Yes, sir.
All right. Could you open that up and tell me what's in that if you recognize it, please?
That would be the Browning which I secured from the gun room.
All right. Can you Is it in an unfair condition? Can you show that to the jury, please?
It's in a safe condition, breech open.
All right. And this is chambered in what gauge?
12 gauge.
All right. Your Honor, at this time, we would move State's Exhibit 80 into evidence.
Relevancy, unless they have evidence tying it to the murders, I mean, there are a lot of guns that were seized, Your Honor.
Objection overruled.
Thank you, Your Honor. My apologies.
Rule 403 grounds for my objection to this gun and all the other guns they plan to introduce.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. All right. Let's return to the video. Yeah, video. We're good. As you were looking through these various shotguns and picking some up and putting them back and all the rest of it, what are you looking for in making that determination, that the ones you take and the ones that you're putting back?
That it was chambered in 12 gauge.
Another gun on the table. You recognize that particular gun?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. And what about the particular condition of that gun? Did you notice, if anything?
That is a 12 gauge pump, and the breech is open. Inside of the chamber is a shotgun shell that's ready to be chambered into the to be fired.
And I paused it at 20 minutes and 17 seconds. What do we see right there?
That is a 12-gauge shotgun shell that's ready to be chambered. Once you slide the pump action forward, it would be chambered into the chamber and ready to fire.
All right. Thank you. And, Your Honor, just very quickly for the record, with that Browning shotgun, I believe I refer to it as State's Exhibit 80. It's actually State's Exhibit 90, which I believe was admitted over objection. All right.
Let's go to 32, Chris.
All right, I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 91. You could just take a look at it before you pull it out and tell me if you recognize what that is.
Yes, sir, I do.
And what is that?
That is a Benelli 12 gauge.
Thank you. Let me close that back up real quick. I'm just going to leave that there for a second. All right. All got one step ahead of ourselves, so let's do this one. This is Stinks Exhibit 87. Let's try this one. Can we do this without knocking everything over?
I think so.
All right, let's try to take a look. Just real quick, don't show it to the jury and tell me if you recognize that.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, tell me what that is.
That is the pump shotgun, which I secured from the gun wall, which is depicted in the video.
The one that's on the screen right now?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right. For the record, this is Stakes Exhibit 89. Let's go ahead and take a look and see if you recognize that. That's the gun we were just talking about?
Yes, sir. Yes.
All right, Your Honor, this time I've moved Stakes Exhibit 9 into evidence.
Your Honor, object on relevance, 403. There's no evidence linking these guns to the crime. And we're just cumulative.
All right.
Prejudicial.
Did you want to respond to the speaking objection?
Yes, sir, I do want to respond to the speaking objection. It is very important to show the extensiveness of the investigation that was done, particularly as it goes to firearms, and there were multiple guns that were tested, and there will be an annotated list here later to show how those guns were tested and what the results of those. So admitting these guns into evidence to show the extent of what was tested is very relevant, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor. I'm sorry, Your Honor. All right, let's go ahead and show the jury this one, if we can, please. Is it not in fire condition, fireable condition?
Breech is open and it's not in fireable condition.
All right. And when you first got this particular, or took this weapon off the wall, what was different about its condition that we talked about?
It had a round that was here ready to be chambered once the full grip is pushed forward.
All right, let me see it just real quick. So, is this a semi-automatic type shotgun or a pump shotgun?
It's a pump shotgun.
All right, and when a shell is fired and mechanism is used, what happens to the spent shell case?
When you bring the forearm back, the shell case is ejected, similar to a semi-auto.
Okay. And which way would it go out of this particular firearm?
It would go to the right.
As an example, go to the right?
Yes.
Okay. Just pointed at a court reporter, sorry. All right, this item was found within that weapon, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, tell me what that is.
It's a 12-gauge, 3.5-inch shell, 2 1/4, number 79.
Is that a turkey load?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right, let's close this box up. Help me out, if you would, real quick. Recall what y'all are doing right now?
We are securing a Benelli shotgun.
All right. So we just did Stakes 89. Now let's do states. Can you tell me the number on the bottom of that one?
91.
91. All right, just real quick, if you can just take a look without showing it to the jury and see if you recognize that.
Yes, sir, I do.
And tell me what that is, please.
That is the Benelli shotgun, which I secured. It's depicted in the video.
All right. Your Honor, at this time, we would move states 91 into evidence.
Yes, Your Honor. Relevance
for... Submitted over.
All right, let's go ahead, and again, if you can, show that to the jury, please. All right, thank you very much. Let's put it back. You pointed at me, that's all right. All right. I'm going to show you what's inside this particular exhibit and see if you recognize those items, please.
Yes, sir.
All right, and what are those items?
Those are two 12-gauge shells, which were loaded in the Benelli at the time we secured it.
What, if anything, can you tell me about the type of shells those are?
Head stamp is Winchester 12-gauge, long beard, so 3-inch, number 4, and the head stamp on the red one is a Federal 12-gauge, 7 2.5 ounce, it's 3.5-inch Federal premium shell.
Different types of ammunition, even different sizes, is that correct?
That's correct.
One is a Winchester and one's a Federal, is that correct?
That's correct.
Let's close this box. All right, back to the video. We're picking up at 2158. At this point on that gun rack, did you observe any other 12 gauges?
No, sir.
Who are you having a conversation with right there?
Attorney Mark Ball.
Is he pointing in that box?
Yes, sir, he is.
Was he pointing about what y'all were talking about?
Yes, sir, he is.
For the record, I'm fast-forwarding a little bit. We're going to talk more about this, but after collecting these various firearms, did you and the other agents ultimately collect both spent rounds as well as unfired rounds in the property and at the house?
Yes, sir, we did.
And that's what generally the video is depicting from here on out?
Yes, sir, it is.
Thank you. Is that that empty box we were just talking about earlier?
Yes, sir, it is.
For the record, we're at 28 minutes and 59 seconds. Right up there, the top of the screen on top of those little shelves, do you know what that is?
I don't see where you're talking, sir.
Let me back it up.
You can step down for me real quick.
Back it up one more time. That silvery thing, you know what that is? Right there.
I didn't catch a good look at it, sir. It looks like a juice box drink.
Okay, juice box drink. All right, keep on going through it, please. I'm just kind of fast-forwarding it. What's generally going on right here?
Still looking for any additional weapons or ammunition.
Right there on the image of 3804, who's sitting on the couch?
That would be Attorney Chris Wilson.
All right. Bear with me. I'm going to kind of fast forward through this. And for the record, I'm at 4708. Did you see who was on your cell phone right there?
Yes, sir, I did.
Who was that?
Captain Ryan Neal.
Is that your boss at the time?
Yes, sir, it was.
Okay. And so what are you doing right now?
I'm fixing to step outside to talk to him.
All right. Does your body camera go off at that point?
It does.
All right. Tell me what happens when you go outside. Do you go outside that stoop we showed earlier?
Yes, sir. I go out of the side door, same door we entered.
All right. And what, if anything, did you observe outside?
I observed on the ground right at the edge of the stoop what appeared to be a 300 blackout spent shell casing, appeared to be weathered as if it had been there for some time.
Okay. And what, if anything, did you decide to do at that point?
After talking to Captain Neal, I went back inside. I asked Special Agent Anthony Sampson to step outside with me so that we could secure those shell casings. We again activated the body-worn camera, and we walked outside and we secured those, or we secured shell casings from around that stoop.
Okay. Bear with me real quick. All right, I have what's been marked as Stacy's Exhibit 260 for identification at this time, and I want you to have to take a look at that and see if you recognize that.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, let me take them back real quick. And what are those?
Those are the spent shell casings, which I picked up from around the stoop on the outside of 4147 Moselle Road outside the gun room.
All right, and when you say that they were in weather condition, what do you mean by that?
The brass is tarnished. They had dirt in them. It just appeared they had been sitting in the weather for a while.
And did
I could have the almond back, please?
Did they appear to be shiny, like the bullets over with the magazine that the jury earlier saw from the prior exhibit?
No, sir.
No. All right, I'm just going to put this exhibit without objection, put it up on the screen. It's marked for identification at this time. And again, if you could describe for the jury the condition of those cases when they caught your eye.
I apologize. I couldn't hear what you said.
Right, my apologies. Again, if you would, just describe for the jury what you're talking about about these cases when that caught your eye when you saw them outside.
Well, the brass was not shiny as a new casing would be. It appeared that it had been sitting in the weather for some time. It had began to tarnish inside of the where the bullet had been expelled from the end. The inside had dirt, grass. Obviously, it had been there for a while.
What was the brand and type of ammunition that's in this particular exhibit that you found?
S&B 300 BOK, which is blackout.
Let me go to the video if I could, please. On the screen right here?
We are locating the 300 shell casings.
All right. What's Agent Sampson doing right there?
He is picking the shell casing up.
Is that one of the casings that's in this bag right here that you identified?
Yes, sir, it is. That is another shell casing on the, if you're facing the door or the stoop door, it'd be on the left-hand side of the stoop.
Ones that are in this bag, stations of the 260?
Yes, sir, it is.
And what brand and type?
S&B 300 be okay?
So what you find there, it's just picked up.
That would be another S&B 300 blackout shell casing.
The ones in this bag we've been talking about?
Yes, sir.
We're at 301. I'm going to fast forward just a little bit. Did you go to any other locations that day? What day is this right now, with those videos you just watched?
6/8/21.
21. On June 8th of 2021, the day after the murders, did you go to any other location in the property to search, to your recollection?
I don't think it was that day, no, sir.
Okay. Did you ultimately go and search a shed at the property?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. And what specifically did y'all search at the shed?
The trash that had been taken away from the house.
Okay. And I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 161, your testimony, and I'll see if you recognize that exhibit.
Yes, sir, I do.
Tell me what that exhibit is, please.
This is a video of my body-worn camera when we were actually digging in the trash that was we took to the shed and dug through.
Your Honor, this time I'll offer State's Exhibit 161 in the effort into evidence, I believe, without objection.
That's correct. Submit it.
All right. This time I'm going to publish Exhibit 161. Tell me what we're seeing. We're at 28 seconds in. What are we seeing right there?
That is the large shed that's our hangar, just probably to the right middle of the screen would be the dog kennels, dog house. To the far right is the, I think it's a chicken coop, but the shed is where we went through some trash that we had secured.
All right. Step down for me, if you would, please. Let's kind of point that out for the jury. So where are the kennels in this particular video?
The kennels are right here.
And where's the feed room in this video?
The feed room would be right here on the end.
All right. Where's the little doghouse in this video?
This would be the doghouse.
All right. What is this thing right there underneath the shed?
That's a UTV under the shed.
And then the kennels extend down this way with various cages?
Yes, sir, it does.
Thank you. You can retake your seat. What are y'all about to do right here?
We're about to dig in trash.
Dig in trash?
Yes, sir.
Is that a fun job?
It's not, but it has to be done.
All All right, 124. I'm just going to fast forward it some. What is that image right now at 145 that's on the screen?
That is a empty box, 12-gauge premium turkey load ammunition.
All right, and what is that right there?
An empty box of 12-gauge long beard, 3.5-inch, number, let's see, 2 ounce, number 4 shot.
Okay. And what is that right there?
That is a empty box of 12-gauge. It's got Browning on it, TSS. It's a 3.5-inch, 2.25, number 7 and 9.
All right, for the record, I'm fast-forwarding then. What is this right now that we're seeing at 3 minutes and 7 seconds?
That is a, appeared to be a credit card statement or receipt, and it's got an item circled on it.
And was, there was an item circled on it?
That is correct.
And what was the store on that particular item?
Goosey store.
Goosey?
Yeah.
And what was the amount?
$1,021.10.
Okay. And somebody had circled that particular entry, is that correct?
That is correct.
For the record, I'm just fast-forwarding through. Y'all searching through the trash, is that right?
Yes, sir, we are.
Did you find anything else of note in that trash?
No, sir, we did not.
All right, I'm going to show you, stand by for me real quick. Okay, I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 214. Which is an evidence bag, and see if you recognize what's in there.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, tell me what's in that bag.
These are the shell boxes which I described on the video, or observed on the video, and it's the receipt. Credit card receipt, which was torn, that we collected from the trash.
Right, the one with the circle thing with Gucci on it?
Yes.
Your Honor, this time I've moved State's Exhibit 214 in evidence. I believe without objection.
No
objection.
That did it.
All I'm going to jump ahead of the story just a little bit. Did you ultimately return out to the scene to do an additional search, or out to the property as a whole to do an additional search?
Yes, sir, I did.
All right, and you remember what date that was? Roughly?
I think it was the 13th.
Okay, and what were you looking for on that particular search?
Again, looking for any firearms shelves, shell casings that would could be tested for potential weapon used during a crime.
All right. And do you remember who were some of the other agents that were out there, or what else was going on at that time?
I think Agent McAllister was there. If I'm not mistaken, Mindy may have been there. There was a number of agents there.
Okay. All right. I'm going to show you. What's been marked for identification or marked right now, it states Exhibit 152 and 151, and see if you recognize those items generally.
Yes, sir, I did.
All right. And can you tell the jury just generally what those items are?
It's 300 blackout ammunition and a magazine containing 300 blackout ammunition that was collected.
All right. And was this collected at various locations on the property during that search?
Yes, sir.
Your Honor, at this time I offer State Exhibit 152 and 151 in the evidence, I believe, without objection.
No objection.
Admitted without objection. How much more time do you have with this witness on direct?
There's still a fair amount to cover, Your Honor.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to break talking only to the jury. Everyone else remain seated. We will reconvene at in an hour and 20 minutes. An hour and 20 minutes. Please go to the jury room. With regard to the admission of the guns, anything further the state or the defense would like to place on the record?
Your Honor, I would put some further argument in the record in that the guns had been tested ballistically. The test excluded the guns as being in the murder as murder weapons, my understanding, and as a result, they're just not relevant. They have photos of the guns, which is completely sufficient information for the jury and to get the information in that they were tested. But sending, you know, just weapon after weapon back into the jury room during jury deliberations, we think is unfairly prejudicial.
All right. And in response, Mr.
Warden. The defense, as you might expect, has already challenged the sufficiency of the investigation and what was done. I think the state, not only just generally, but all certainly in response to those lines of examination, is entitled to show the extent of the examinations that were done in analyzing the relevant firearms evidence that was on scene. This agent gathered 12-gauge weapons for a reason, because 12-gauge rounds were used to murder Paul Murdoch, and therefore admission of those, we believe, is relevant, not overly prejudicial. Certainly nothing about the way we did that examination did anything that was prejudicial. It was all very straight to the point.
Right. Relevant evidence means any evidence tending to make the existence of any fact that is of consequence to the determination of the action more or less probable than it would be without the evidence. This evidence of these guns were part of the crime scene in and around the crime scene at or around the time of the murders. Issues have been raised regarding multiple guns, multiple shooters, multiple spent rounds, and the court, in its discretion, have admitted the evidence as being relevant, and there's no dispute that the defendant had multiple guns in and around his place, and I find that it's relevant and more probative than prejudicial, and that's the basis for the court's order with regard to admitting that evidence. And we'll be on break for an hour and 20 minutes.
And that's where things paused for the morning in court of the Alec Murdaugh case here on January 30th of 2023. Still two more segments to bring you from Afternoon in Court, and we'll have those for you next here on the feed. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts as to not miss any of our conversations on this case, breaking coverage and courtroom coverage for you as well. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.